And right now, it's time to bring in our good friends from the BerkshireEdge.com, David and Marcy. They join us every week at this time. We rebroadcast it over the weekend as well. And of course, we just cover a bare minimum of what you'll find in the pages online at the BerkshireEdge.com. You'll find people in Great Barrington hanging out for hours outside. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
It must be time for the Great Barrington town meeting outside.
It was.
Yes. In their cars, in the parking lot. It was sort of like a drive-in town meeting.
Yes. But
in fact, it was a drive-in town meeting.
Well, most of what we talk about is going to be about that, and I just want to congratulate the folks of Great Barrington for going along with the local law on Airbnb and other rentals. That's just for me.
Yeah, well,
that was the most contentious issue.
Actually, this is very interesting because, I mean, yes, the town meeting was outdoors. This is the third year in a row that it's been in the parking lot of the high school rather than in the auditorium, and the select board sets up a stage, a platform. There are microphones, there are lights, and also there is a radio broadcast. I mean, it's just a short, I forget what you call it, but very limited
range.
But there was a, you know, if you were sitting in your car and you couldn't hear, you could turn on your radio and you could hear the proceedings. You know, David and I were talking after the meeting about what did this town meeting show, because the budget went through very quickly. I mean, there was almost no contention on anything. Like in the past, people have fought over whether or not the police department can buy another cruiser and whether the fire department really needs another engine, and, you know, and there was none of that. But what everybody had come for and what the discussion was really about was this short-term rental bylaw. There was an official warrant on the ballot for the new bylaw that was supported by the select board. And then there was also a citizen's petition, which modified the select board warrant. And the select board warrant passed by something like 208 to 100 and something. It was just about a two-thirds majority, not quite, but just about. So, David, do you want to talk
about that? No, go ahead.
So this is very interesting because the discussion was really about community. What the warrant was asking for was that a limitation on short-term rentals, because it was originally introduced by our select board member, Lee Davis, because she was concerned that it's impossible to rent a home, even buy a home for working people in Great Barrington. The housing prices have skyrocketed in the last couple of years, and one of the issues is whether or not people are just buying houses to turn them into Airbnb.
Commercial properties, yeah.
Commercial properties. Now, we had a four-part series about this, which was brilliant, by a columnist of ours named Bill Schein. Anybody who's interested in this housing issue, I recommend, you know, just come to the Berkshire Edge and search Bill Schein, S-H-E-I-N. Is it S-C-H? Yeah.
No, it's just S-H.
S-H-E-I-N.
Or you could just short-term rentals.
S-T-R.
Yeah, S-T-Rs.
Because he did an amazing job of analyzing this issue from all perspectives, but one of the things that he talked about in his series was the commercialization or the commoditization of housing, that originally homes were built for people to live in, Now, really, since about 2006 or 2007, homes have been turned into commodities, and it started, you know, with the mortgage lending boom, and you know, which caused the collapse in 2008. That homes were no longer bought for your to live in, but they were bought as investments that you were expected to flip in a year or two and make an enormous profit. So they're no longer homes, they're commodities. And now what's happened with the short-term rentals is all these homes that were, you know, that created neighborhoods in Great Barrington are now being turned into short-term rentals or commercial commodities. And, you know, the overwhelming concern among people who spoke was that this town, I mean, we were at a flipping point or tipping point in this town where it would no longer be a town where people could come and live and enjoy their neighborhoods and know their neighbors, but that this is going to be turned into, you know, a kind of Disney world of rental properties and cute neighborhoods that were not that nobody could live in. And of course, there was a citizens' petition that was submitted primarily by real estate interests, which diluted the. I mean, it did acknowledge a limitation on how many days a year, or a limitation on the regulations, but it didn't apparently didn't go far enough for the majority of our voters. And so the select board's warrant passed, and so it's a new bylaw, and it limits. I don't remember the specifics, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it's in our article. It's, you know, it limits. I think you are allowed 150 days, and also there's some regulation. If you are renting your house out as a commercial property, it has to be inspected. You have to have exit signs and smoke alarms. You know, so it has to be treated as a rental.
It's 150 days per year.
150 days per year
is the maximum number of nights that you could rent your house
For less than 30 days. I mean, you can rent it if you want to rent. If you're renting your house for periods longer than 30 days. Then this does not apply to you. So if you are, you know, if you rent it to somebody who's coming to Great Barrington to work, then you can rent it all year. It's just if you're doing short-term rentals of less than 30 days, then you are regulated by this new bylaw.
Well,
there was an interesting discussion. We had someone from. Who had moved here, a fellow named Billy Southern, who had moved here from eponymously from New Orleans, who had seen what an STR short-term rental would do to a neighborhood, which ruined his neighborhood in New Orleans, and it was a very interesting discussion. In any case.
You know, it's interesting you bring up this. In Sharon, Ellsworth Hill Farm, on top of Sharon Mountain, which has many, many different acres, many, many different plots of land, was put on the market a couple of years ago at $1.6 million. It just sold, I think it sold for $2.2 million. Nobody knows what's going to happen to this plot of land. It was a pick-your-own farm. And it's no longer there. And the thing you brought up, Marcy, about the first initial housing collapse, you know, if we're not careful here, the same thing's going to happen over again. There's so many houses and pieces of property, and you used the right word. They're purchased as commodities.
Right,
they're purchased as almost like you're buying art, and then you're going to hold on to it, and you're going to sell it again.
Right.
And that's the dangerous part that they're going into again. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out, especially if the economy keeps going the way it's going.
Yeah. No, and really, I mean, I recommend that anybody who's interested take a look at these articles by Bill Shine. I mean, they're really good.
Well, at the meeting, like you said, other things were debated and talked about, including the town budget.
Well, yes, and we're all in our cars in the parking lot of the high school, of course. you know, it's very odd. It's sort of like going to a drive-in movie, you know, except with the select board, you know, in front of you on a stage, and everyone lined up in their cars. Listening to their radios, and that's the way the meeting had to be conducted.
Nevertheless, I mean, there were microphones. I mean, a lot of people got out of their cars. They had set up chairs, so I mean, you could come and sit outside. And luckily, it was
a nice evening.
It was a nice evening, although it did get cold. It started out warm, and by this went on until it started at 6 and it didn't finish until about 10:20. And it was mostly because of this discussion. But, it's very exciting to see this kind of, this is direct democracy. I mean, we've mentioned this before, you know, this New England form of government, but it's very exciting to participate in this. It almost brings tears to my eyes because there are people, you know, out in the parking lot. Not enough, however. You know, there were only about 350 votes on this altogether. There's something like 7,000, well, I don't know how many eligible voters there are.
Well, we usually meet in the high school auditorium.
Yeah. But the same number of people show up.
Yeah.
Not everybody participates, which is a shame because this is an amazing opportunity to really, you know, govern yourselves. We had something like, you know, around 350 votes on this, which is not too bad, actually.
No, outside in the parking lot.
Right, and it was lively.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At this time of year, I was mentioning this morning, I turned my furnace off, and yesterday morning it was 48. I could see going into the night, it got chilly out there. Another point, though, that I want to bring up about your town meeting is that you also had the Community Preservation Act, and you had the zoning bylaws, and I think more importantly, I think you're one of the first two towns now to vote to put cameras on police.
Yes, and that was on the budget to buy cameras.
Right.
I mean, there was a little discussion about this, hardly any. Everybody agreed on it. But the police are now, they have cameras on their cars, and they have body cameras, too. And they have the reason that it's so expensive, it's like $18,000 for 6 cameras, but it's not just the cameras, it's also the whole system of transmitting the pictures.
And it's a worthwhile investment. This is not anything derogatory towards police officers. As a matter of fact, I think a majority of police officers that use these cameras realize it protects them as well against civil liability. It protects the public. I think it's a wise investment. It sounds like a lot of money, but you know what? In the end, if it prevents a lawsuit that could be $20 million against the town for something that went wrong, it's what a great investment.
Right. No, I agree.
I think it's so great that, you know, people in larger communities just don't have this opportunity to debate the individual items in the municipal budget, you know. In this case, the select board goes down one by one, and people can question anything that's being voted on, any item in the whole budget. They can say, hold. They say hold, and then the debate stops, and they'll question an individual item. So it also makes for not only is it very democratic, but it makes the select board very cautious about what they what they put in their budget, because they know at town meeting they're going to be people are going through the budget with a fine tooth comb, finding items that they may not like.
Well, that's that's the great thing about our form of government around here.
Yeah, you have
a town board. You have a lot of the times a board of finance. And the Board of Finance approves the budget, sends it to the town board. The town board either approves it or doesn't approve it. But the ultimate decider is not the Board of Finance, is not the select people, not the town board. It's the people. It's the people.
Right. That's right. And they have a chance to correct and alter everything. Because the town meeting, it's that collection of people that is the real government. And the select board and finance committee and everybody else are just the agents of the people, which is how democracy is supposed to work.
Right.
Well, we've got...
And hopefully there are no shady deals going on so that the people are not, that the people don't know about. But by and large, I think that, people feel that that this is a fair form of government.
Well, this is our job, your job, my job, the Berkshire Edge job, Robin Hood Radio, other forms of media. It's our job to shed light in these dark places, and the reason there are fewer and fewer dark places is because we do that, and that's what makes having local media so
that's
important.
Because
if local media goes away, guess what?
Right.
Everything's done in the dark.
Yep,
that's right.
Yeah,
I just am delighted when you go to a town meeting like this, and people will get up and say, well, what about this item? Why are you spending money on this? And people could actually get up and just say, demand an explanation. And I think it's terrific.
Yes, no, it's very exciting, and I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it for the world, to be able to see this and participate in this. So,
of course, this time it was sort of like going to a drive-in movie.
Yeah.
Takes you back to your teenage days, because of COVID.
Well, let's go to COVID, because actually at that meeting, the Tri-Town Health Department reported some good news about COVID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mercy.
No. It's going in the right direction. I have to read the article again.
It's been falling. According to the Tri-Town Health Department. Following, and keeping track of the infection rates in the Berkshires, and it's
we're back in the medium yellow category.
Right.
We were in the red, and this is as of Friday, June 3rd.
Right.
And they do this with, wastewater. It's interesting. They do wastewater studies to see.
We're in the medium yellow category.
Right.
That's what is for Berkshire County and South Berkshire County right now.
Right.
So that's good news.
Yes. So that is.
Well, this is one of the things I think that we're all going to have to learn to live with, that there's going to be now ups and downs. There's going to be, especially when we get into colder months, there's going to be increases in COVID and decreases in COVID. This is something now where you would hope that people have finally settled in and accepted that the fact that you're going to have to deal with your neighbors, you're going to have to deal with COVID, you're going to have to deal with yourself for probably forever, because this is something that's not just going to go away.
Yeah, no, it's not. I think everybody is thankful that as we come into the really busy season in the Berkshires, that people can assemble again, because the spring and the summer, especially the summer, and now increasingly the fall. There's so many things going on.
and the whole economy exists on what people can make during these warmer months.
Right. Yeah. And the economy was terribly hit over the last couple of years, and now, you know, theaters are open and Tanglewood is open, and people are going into stores, and there are people on the main streets again, and so it's kind of a new lease on life for this area, which does depend a lot on the tourist economy and the creative economy, and people are not going out.
And the things that make our tri-state region so nice for people to come to and visit to are the different community events that happen now that are back after 2 years.
Right.
That each one of these small little activities will bring in anywhere from 300 to 1,000 people. They're small ones. And then you team that up with the 501c3s and the theaters and the playhouses and the restaurants. And that is the economic driver for our area. Lime Rock is back here. And it was nice to see all the motels filled.
Yeah.
The people were in town spending money.
Right. And I do want to point out, I've mentioned this before, but we have on the edge an online calendar where we invite everyone in the community to post their events for free. And they do post. We have hundreds and hundreds of events in our calendar. And, and what's exciting is that although we do have, some of the big venues, we're getting a lot of things from smaller venues that don't have money to advertise, but that are doing very interesting things, and people who are, visiting or people who live here, they will find things to do and community offerings that they may not have known about that really, make a big difference in the community. So I urge people to use our calendar. I mean, it's intended as a way of bringing the community together. It's free for people to post on. I mean, we don't want, commercial announcements. I mean, we don't want retail sales. But this is for anything that's educational or cultural or, those are the two classes.
Not-for-profits, all these organizations that give to our community.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So
often you can, there's a link on those entries of events that if you need tickets, you can buy the tickets right from, it's a link to their box office on the listing.
It's so important that things are back. Right.
Yep.
All right. Well, like I said, this is just touching on the stories that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com. There's plenty of stories, much, much more than the few that we get a chance to talk to each week. But you'll find them at the BerkshireEdge.com. And guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Marshall, have a good week.
You too.
Yes.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air, the BerkshireEdge.com on the web.